and let them know that you'll be praying for them. Just want to thank the Lord for each of you being here. As I mentioned, Valentine's Day, and if you're a teenager or below, not if you wish you were, but if you're a teenager or below, I want you to find come over to see my wife before you leave. She's right up here, and she's got a bag of Valentine's candy, and so we'd like to, we picked up some good ones, I think. There are some Fun Dip Oreos or Sour Patch something, right, Aime? Something like that. So anyway, some Valentine's. So you stop by and get some. Young people will have a good time together there. Thank you for doing that. And then Valentine's Day. And can you imagine if you had a birthday on Valentine's Day? What a way to remember. Well, apparently in 1992, somebody got their birthday on Valentine's Day. Brother Daniel, happy birthday. 92, right? How many of you were born since 92? I was not. I graduated high school the year before that. So how many of you were already into doing something by 1992? All right. Well, you wish the young whippersnapper a happy birthday. How's that? So it's good to be in church, and those of you who are watching online, thank you for joining us. If you're listening online or listening on the radio, thank you as well. And I just trust that you excuse some of the stuff that we do here as far as church. I was thinking about that. Think about what Gage had mentioned. We're looking forward to, anxiously looking forward to here. As soon as God gives us the green light, we're looking to get our bus ministry. We're restarting it and getting going back again. But something did intrigue me with Gage's presentation, and that was the boat ministry. I was thinking about putting the chairman of the deacons in charge of that. I'm not sure what all that entails, but Marty might take the boat ministry for us and see how that goes. So I think that some of you have been engaged in the boat ministry for a while. You just didn't know you were in it. Well, let's get back into the Bible, shall we? We started last week unveiling our theme, our emphasis for that I may know Him. And I just felt led, and we'll come back to that same passage and preach a message, not the same one, but a different one. So if you'd find your place in Philippians chapter 3, and I trust the Lord will give us His help today as we look into the Word of God. While you're finding your place there in Philippians chapter 3, I did hear this story about these ladies that lived together. They were sisters, and they were widows, but by this point they decided to move back in together, save resources and things. They were 96 years old, 94 and 92. And the three of them lived there. And one particular day, the story goes, the 96-year-old had drew a bath, and so she put her foot in, but then she couldn't remember if she was getting in or getting out. And so she hollered downstairs for the younger, the 94-year-old, her little sister, and asked her if she'd come up here. She said, I can't figure out. I'm trying to figure this out. Can you come up here? She said, okay, well, I'll come up. Well, she got up about halfway and got up the steps and got winded, and so she stopped for a little rest. And then when she started ready to get going, she said, I can't remember if I'm going up or coming down. So you got one lady up in the bathroom, and then this one's in the middle of the steps. And so she hollers down for the youngest of the kid sisters, who's only 92. And says, hey, can you come help me? I can't figure out if I'm going up. And she's hearing the whole conversation. She said, oh, what, these two? She said, they're so annoying and so hard to get along with and so hard to deal with. And she said, all right, I'll be up there. And she thought to herself, I am so glad I'm not like them. Knock on wood. And she said, wait a minute, I'm going to see who's at the door first, then I'll come help you. So, Philippians chapter 3. That I may know Him, the Bible says, and the power of His resurrection. Our verse that we looked at last week, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, preaching on this passage about knowing the Lord and asking us, who do we know? Do we know Him? I gave you some illustrations last week about knowing people, and it's enjoyable to know people who can do things. I was going home, Amy and I were one time home to West Virginia, and we were coming from Ohio, I believe, and I got pulled over, and the blue lights lit up behind me, and I was so hoping that it was my brother. My brother's a state trooper, and so I was so hoping he knew I was coming that it was him, but I looked in my mirror, and I looked back by the cruiser, and the guy that got out was not him. It's like, oh man, I hadn't had a ticket for years, and I thought, great. And so he came up there after a little while. They always make you wait, you know. I know that we have some police officers here, and I'm for you. Just not right at that particular point am I for you. I mean, I love him, and I thank God and stands firmly behind him, and I want our church to. But boy, whoever doesn't have that sinking feeling when they see blue lights, something's not right with you. So I saw that guy come out. I thought, oh, great. And so I was ready to get my license, registration, insurance, all that. And then finally, I was so relieved when I looked back through the rearview mirror, and then my brother, for some reason, was riding along with him, and he got out of the passenger side. And then, it felt so much better after that. My wife's good friend, they used to teach Sunday school together. She was going through, and they were stopping everybody, a DUI checkpoint. She didn't have to worry about the reason for which they were pulling people over, but she did realize as she was waiting in line to get checked by the officers that she didn't have her license. And she was never so glad when she pulled up there and saw my brother, who knew her as well. We were all family friends, and so, well, didn't ticket her for not having the proper paperwork and things. So I'm just saying it's nice to know people. But as we get started in this passage again today, I want to give you the first point, and that is we need to know Him, not just know about Him. Brother Dan mentioned it in the pre-service, in the singing. You know, a lot of times people will know about Christ, and Gage mentioned even in their presentation that land, many of them would claim Christianity. Some people think you're Christian because you were born in America. Some people think you're a Christian because you were born into the family you were born into. Some people think you're a Christian think they're a Christian because they can rattle off most of the tenets or many of the basic tenets of the Christian faith. But my friend, you've got to know Christ, not just know about Him. But I want to go a step further. In your Christian life and in my Christian life, not only do we need to know Him as our Savior and know about Him, but we need to know Him. He did die on the cross and was God's Son, rose again, has many songs about Him, has paintings of Him in beautiful cathedrals. But those are great things, but you can have intellectual knowledge of Christ and still not be as in tune with Him as you want to be, as you should be. You can know all those things and not be saved, yes. Or you can be saved and know the basics of salvation and be saved, be legitimately saved, but then not have delved deep into the truths of the Word of God and in the truths of Jesus Christ to where you really know Him. You think about somebody who you live with, your family members, you're able to tell what they're going to do most of the time. You know, oftentimes you'll know if you hear somebody walking through the house, you can tell who it is by the way they're walking. Some people care if they wake you up, and then some people just clod on through. Some people are quiet little folks that just move around and don't try to make a noise. Others, you can hear them when they come in the front door, and you can hear when they leave because they're so bombastic in their personality or in their voice level. And you just know people. You know how they're going to do. And it's a wonderful thing. It does get annoying at sometimes, but it's usually a wonderful thing to be able to be predictable. But you really have to know somebody to be able to predict what they're going to do. And my friend, I'm wondering this as I get a little off topic, but I'm going to bring it back in. I shared with the first service this, that there have been some good old saints of God who have told me lately that they were watching some situation and said, John, don't get upset about that because I believe God's doing something. You know, you have the luxury when there's folks that have walked with the Lord for a long time and they're able to watch His patterns. Just like I told you, you and I are able to watch the patterns or know the patterns of individuals. Well, I think they're probably going to do this. You've got a boss, and you usually know how he or she handles a situation. When something goes wrong, he usually flies into this, or she usually does this. We understand because we've watched them. We know their patterns. Well, it's a blessing to see old saints of God who not only are old in age, but old in their faith, and they're able to come alongside of you and tell you, now watch out, this I believe is happening. Now, you can't always trace what the Lord's doing, but as you walk longer with Him, you're able to come along somebody and say, there are some things going on here. And I've had older saints of God from other churches that have told me, said, John, be careful, but don't get discouraged, because I believe that the Lord is doing some things. And that comes when somebody knows Him. And I ask you again this morning, do you really know Him? Yes, do you know if you're saved? But if you're saved, do you really have that sweet fellowship and know Him? I say number one, we need to know Him, not only just know about Him. You know, my pastor is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The pastor's a big church there. But for some time, my pastor was Larry Brown. We served in Iowa, in Washington, Iowa. That's where I met Brother Dan Rogers years and years ago. And so we served for 3.5 years there under Pastor Larry Brown's ministry. And the first time, though, I met him was in a strange situation. I heard him preach at a national conference, and he had on the platform that day a television. He unveiled it, took the sheet off of it, and commenced hitting it with a sledgehammer. It was illustrating some point about how you couldn't control it. If you can't control it, then you ought to get rid of it. And the message entitled was, Go Forward, Go Forward. And one part of the sermon, he had obviously checked this out before, but he was prepared himself to walk from the front pew on the back to the next pew, to the next, to the next, to the next. So where you go from the start where nobody sits in the front, looks like. Aren't you glad it's a typical Baptist church? Nobody sits in the front pew. But they start there, and then they walk back to Brother Tipton, then to Marty, and then the back. And he just walked from one pew back and put the next foot on the next one, the next one. He would have had a hard time here in this auditorium. Number one, they're 6 foot apart, so that's quite a stride. But so the way that we got introduced to Larry Brown was, I was sitting in the pew with Amy beside of me. We were married just for a few years at that point. And then he came and split us right down the middle. He walked on the pew back right between Amy and I. It's kind of interesting to look at a pastor as he walks by you. And we were in awe, of course. You say, oh, I bet you were shocked. And well, there's a lot of things, but we were surprised. Well, lo and behold, eventually we went out to work for him. And so my office was split from his office by a bathroom. It was, that had doors came in locked from either side. And he'd call and John, and so I'd walk through there. And one time he called, and I walked through there. And his desk was completely cleared off, had a glass top on it, but it had a green sheen over everything. Kind of like pond scum, but it wasn't wet. It was dry. Well, he took whatever you do with this stuff, barley green. And this barley green was this really, really fine green powder, I guess, had all kinds of stuff put in it. And it was supposed to be the miracle supplement that you put in there, all natural. But it was so finely ground up, and he had spilled some on the desk. And when it hit, it just went everywhere and put this green tint over all of that. And I thought, whoa, boy, what have we gotten ourselves into? He also was a carrot juicer. Is one, I'm sure. And so oftentimes I would stop in Kelowna, Iowa and get a 25-pound bag of organic carrots, and he would juice that and just drink that on a regular basis. It's amazing what you get to know about people after you spend some years with them. And this isn't confession time, but I'm sure some of you could give some funny illustrations about how you know about somebody that we don't want to know. But you know the way you get to know someone? By spending time with them. I know the folks of the church here much better than I did a year ago. But that's because you get to spend time with them. And I worry sometimes about our walk with Christ. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world. No matter what age you are, what stage of life you're in, it's going faster than probably you ever imagined it would. And what I worry about in my life is what I worry about in everybody's life, and that is, do we take enough time, pull enough time aside to really get to know Him? You know why we're doing our couples retreat? Well, it's to get some training, yes. But, you know, we could just have Dean do some, Brother Miller do some sessions and put them online, and you could get the same information. But one of the wonderful things about the couples retreat is you got to go away for at least a night and get alone and get to know one another. I think about this. Not only do we need to know about Him, but we need to know Him. But I want you to look also back in our verse, and we see not only do I know Him, but I know Him in the power of His resurrection. Can I give you a little help for something that all of us face? And that is this. Many of us can't get over our problems. We can't get over our temptations. We can't find it in ourselves to be kind to others. We can't commit to read the Bible. We can't have character. We can't be a friend in difficulties. We just seem like we start and then we stop. We start and we fail. We begin and we have to stop. We see all these things. It seems like we have no power. You know, just because we're saved doesn't mean that we bring all of the power of the abilities that God wants us to have. Doesn't mean we implement those in our lives. We have them at our disposal, but we don't always utilize them. You know, I told you about the old boy that bought the chainsaw and brought it back after 3 days, and he told that guy, that redneck, said, "I'm taking this thing back. It don't work." And the guy said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Let me try it out." And he put up there on the counter and started up. He said, "Oh, man, how to do that?" Well, it's no wonder you don't like a chainsaw if you can't start it. Here's trying to chop it like an axe. Well, there's a lot of us that have the capabilities. We have the Lord's power at our disposal. He says, call unto me and I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But just because they're there at our disposal doesn't mean that we automatically use them. Sometimes we go and we don't use what God's already given to us. And so I'm telling you, knowing Him gives us power in life. Tell you a very intimate story. It's not about anybody in this church, and I wouldn't tell the names, although you wouldn't know. I've sat at the bedside of one of the hospitals in Nashville some years ago, and some friends of ours, their loved one was passing on, as has happened here in the last days of several good families. But as that saint of God grabbed his wife's hand and told her, "Mama, go ahead," knowing that it was he thinking, and it turned out to be that it was God's will that she go on. He thought maybe that she just needed a nudge from him to go ahead. And as he grabbed across that hospital bed and told her to, "It's okay." You know how you walk through something like that? By the power of the Almighty. You don't just will those things to be true. You don't just say, "Oh, well, I'm gonna make it so." You don't just get to a place and say, "Well, mind over matter, I can do whatever I want to do." My friend, that doesn't work. What you do need instead is the power of the Almighty. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And the way that's possible is because you say, "His rod and his staff, they comfort me," but he will never leave you. And my friend, I see that not only do we understand we've got to know about Him, but knowing Him, as the Bible says, gives us the power of His resurrection. Understand, the interesting thing that I find as we look in the verse today is, you understand that Christ gave people blind. He restored their blinded eyes. God gave restoration to deaf ears. He did many, many things. But in this particular passage, He doesn't say in the power of restoring sight, in the power of all these things, because the power of the resurrection trumps all of those. And the Lord, the Word of God rather, says about the Lord that we know Him, and we know Him in the power of His resurrection. And this morning, I believe that God's brought us together to rejoice and fellowship in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Gage mentioned in his prayer, the fellowship of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I see that knowing Him gives us power in life. First of all, I say that we need to know Him, not just about Him. And to you, if that's you that you say, "Well, I know Him, I'm saved," how deep have we gone into the Word of God to know more and more about Him? Don't you remember Valentine's Day? If you haven't bought your gifts yet, your reputation's already taken a hit. Might as well wait till tomorrow, because everything's half off. Do you remember what it was like when you were dating? You wanted to know more and more and more about her, did you not? And the only way you do that is spending time researching. Now there's the internet and you can be a stalker. It's not legal, but you can do it, I guess. You know? And you want to find more and more about him or about her. Why do you do that? Because you're interested. I think sometimes that our churches, we've gotten to a place where we are more marketers than we are Bible presenters. Because I do believe there was a time, even in our nation, when people wanted to just know the Bible. I listen to old preachers, old Bible teachers, some still replaying on the radio. And there was a time in our nation when people would be interested just in learning the Bible, and Bible programs would be at a certain time, and folks would change their schedule around so they could always get the Bible message. Now we have the ability to do it online, and we can listen whenever we want to, podcasts and all. But it seems that the modern church, that we're reduced, if we want to teach anybody the Bible, we have to tell them, here's what I want you to learn. I want you to learn the Bible, and here's why you're interested in it, because it's going to help you be a better you. Or it's going to help in your relationship. Or it's going to help in your interpersonal communication between you and the... And I'm afraid that sometimes we've gotten to act like the Bible in and of itself is not enough. I'm challenging you this morning. If you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by His blood, you are on your way to heaven, then let the Bible be enough. Just challenge yourself to dive deep in it and get in the Word of God. Pray, seek His face, read, and speak about His goodness. Knowing Him gives us power in life. Let me give you this last one. Knowing Him makes us die to self. If you look in verse number 10, as we looked at, we see that we need to know Him, not just about Him, but we also need to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Gives us power in life. But then it also, the last phrase says this, being made conformable unto His death. Being made conformable unto His death. Dr. Lee Robertson, who was a great hero of mine, has been in heaven for years now, but used to always preach on this theme, die to self, die to self, die to self. Nobody liked this word in school, but let me try it out today. I'm going to have a little quiz for you. You ready? You don't have to take out your pen and paper. This is better than the grade your own. Remember those ones? I was so happy when they said, oh, grade my own. That's what I meant. Sure, that's what I meant. Dreaded word is your quiz here. When's the last time you gave in on an argument that you didn't have to? Let me give this little precursor, disclaimer. I'm not talking about moral things and immoral things, okay? I'm not talking about you want to do the right thing and somebody wants to do something that's wrong and ungodly. So I'm not talking about those things in this quiz. When's the last time you gave in into an argument and you didn't have to? When was the last time you held something back that you wanted to say? I told you before, oftentimes when you get into something, you say, God, give me 5 minutes. Save you the trouble and make me feel better. When's the last time you held back something you wanted to say? When's the last time you took the blame without a fight? Let me give you this one. When's the last time you said, I'm sorry, and left it right there? Let me explain what I mean by that. Usually we say, I'm sorry I did that, but you know I didn't get much sleep last night. I'm sorry, but you know I've been working a lot lately. I'm sorry, but you know that's how I am. I'm sorry, but you know I haven't had my coffee. Whatever. I told Amy, I'm challenging myself when I speak to people and you do something wrong, you own up to it. I'm challenging myself just to say I'm sorry and stop. Because what we're doing is justifying, even though we said the words, I'm sorry, because we know we're supposed to, now we justify because we want our ego not to take such a big hit. But I'm challenging all of us, when you've done wrong and the Lord brings it to you, don't ruin it with an explanation. Just tell the person, I'm sorry. Sorry for being insensitive. I'm sorry for lashing back at you. I'm sorry for whatever. So when's the last time you said you're sorry and just didn't add anything else? When's the last time you helped somebody without credit? I always think it funny when men, like myself, you do something around the house, first time you've ever done it, but you want to make sure everybody knows it. You want a billboard somewhere in the house. I emptied the laundry. And I know what your wife's thinking. Oh, that same thing I've done for the last 3,000 weeks in a row? Okay, great. Yay. When's the last time you did something without credit? When's the last time that you did something and you didn't do it so that somebody would see you? Here's where it gets me, as if you want to be really transparent. I see many things that need to be done. If you're not careful, you'll wait and schedule it. No church members here now. Sure, that needs cleaned up, but I'll wait till some other people get around here so they can see me. And they'll know what a great servant I am. My friend, when was the last time you just did something just because it needed done? Without credit, knowing that nobody would know. knowing Him makes us die to self, because you remember why our Savior went to the cross. He went to the cross for every sin that you've done and I've done, and no sins that He did, because He never did one. And so the Savior died on the cross completely selflessly, because there was nothing, and He did die for all the sins of the world. And if you lined all of them up or piled all of them up, not one of them had His name on it. Yet He took His name and put it on every single one, and He did it selflessly. And then much of the world blasphemes and mocks Him and never gives Him any thanks. And the Bible says that I'm supposed to be conformable unto His death. And the whole nature of His death was that He was doing a selfless act for all of mankind. And so we see, first of all, we need to know Him, not just know about Him. Let's not tout our Bible knowledge. Oh, I know this, and I know that, and I know the other. Great. But let's let it get us deep into how much we know Him, not about how much we know about Him. But then knowing Him gives us power in life. And then knowing Him makes us die to self. Let me give you this in conclusion. Amy and I were doing a couples retreat or a banquet of some sort like that years ago. And so one of the games that we played was we took a colored sheet, and we had four couples, the men on one side, the ladies on the other side. And we cut holes about that big in about head height. And what we would do is the men would step up to that sheet, all four of them, and they would stick their nose through. And so the ladies would be on the other side. So you might guess the name of the game. We called it Pick Your Husband's Nose. Now, we could have called it Choose Your Husband's Nose, but it just didn't have the same ring to it. And of course, what you had to do was be able to distinguish which nose sticking through that colored sheet, because that way you couldn't see anything else. That sheet was yours. Now, you have to know somebody pretty well. Now, some folks that I've met, they are more easily distinguished in that category. There are a few that you'd know them anywhere. But most of us, you just kind of blend in. You really have to know someone. And I think about this, that a humorous illustration, but how well do we know Christ when we see just a little bit of what He's doing? You ever seen these little puzzles where much of the whole picture is disguised, but covered, and they just give you a little bit of a corner of a hint of what's under this huge covering? And you really have to know your stuff if you guess what's underneath that, because just a small amount is exposed. Most of the time you say, I have no idea what it is. And then you unveil it at something totally different than maybe what you thought it was. Well, I'm thinking about this. If we're going to be those Christians that are able to see just a little bit of what the Savior's doing and be able to comfort our families or encourage our church or be a witness to a lost and dying world by what the Lord's doing, we're thinking forward to when Tom Farrell's here for the prophecy service on Wednesday night. If you're going to be that Christian that's able to see what's going on in the world and say, I'm not sure what God's doing precisely, but I know He's up to something. The way that you have to get, the way you have to be, is to know Him. And as I already told you, I've had some Christian brothers that have come along and put their arm around me figuratively and say, John, don't worry about what's going on. The Lord is doing something. How do they know that? They know that because they've walked with Him long enough. They're seeing some traits that look familiar to something He's done before. But if you're going to be able to comfort somebody and say the Lord is working here, then we have to walk with Him long enough, sincerely enough, to be able to give that assurance. So this morning, who do you know? I told you I was so glad to see my brother come out of the police cruiser. That meant I didn't get a ticket. Well, better than that, it's wonderful to know the Lord. And I trust that you in this room not only know the Lord as your Savior, but you are getting to know Him so much more. You say, I already know Him. The one last Valentine story or illustration or thought. How comforting would it be to your wife when you get married and the next month or the next 2 months, she says, oh, I wanted to tell you about something about myself. Don't need to know. I already know all I need to know about you. You, my friend, are heading for a huge fight. And might I say, you deserve it, numbskull. You're supposed to know more and more and more. And I don't care how long you've been saved. Your preacher Lashley's here, has been saved and serving the Lord and seeing folks saved for years and decades now. But he'd be the first to tell you that he wants to know more about his Savior before he sees him. What drives a man to do that? Because you're talking about a man that knows him, and but wants to know him more. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I thank you for this time to gather in your house. Lord, I pray that you would convict and challenge every heart that's here. Lord, may your word find a resting place in our heart. And Lord, may we be challenged in this theme, this emphasis, to know you more. Now, my friend, as we're sitting here and we have this invitation time, here's my invitation, number one. If you're here and you're saved, wouldn't you long to know him more, the one that saved you? Wouldn't you long to know him more? And then number two, if you're here and you're not saved, but you've heard about the Savior, isn't today the day you should receive him and really know him for sure as your personal Savior? Oh, my friend, there's nothing like being saved. And then if you're saved, would you commit today to grow and know him more and more and more? And I believe the Lord would be glorified. Would you stand together as they begin to play? If God's spoken to your heart as they instruments play, and if the Lord has moved upon your heart, would you allow yourself to be challenged to know him more? If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved. Don't know for sure you know the Lord as your personal Savior. Would you find your way to the altar to the front here? The pews are opened up on the front and there's the altar here. But more than that, Brother Daniel's here with a Bible. He'd love to take it and show you how you be sure you're saved. And maybe you're saved, but you need to know him more. Either use your pew as a seat or a pew as an altar, or come to this altar and just commit to the Lord. Lord, I want to know you more that I may know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Whatever your need is as they play, would you come? Father, thank you so much for this time to be in your house. I pray, dear Lord, that we would walk out of these doors with a desire to know you more. And dear Lord, I pray that you would bless us in that, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. She already slipped out, but Miss Debbie Deacons was back here at the back. I saw her. So if you usually text her or write her a note, tell her it's good to see her in church. If you didn't get to see her, but if you good to know she was in church, praise the Lord for her being here. And I wanted to remind you, tonight, 6:30, we will be back here in the auditorium, in the gym, and the Family Life Center right here. And looking forward to looking at the first 11 verses in the book of Philippians. If you want to get a head start, you read those, and we'll be preaching through the first 11 verses or so, and God will help us, I do believe. But then also, if you're a teenager or below, please come over and find Amy, and she's got a Valentine for you. Thank you so much for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.
Streaming.